Communication and collaboration is another critical factor. So foster open communication and collaboration between the client and the provider. Ensure the service provider does not feel the need to hide some information, because at times the clients can be very stringent if performances are not being met, but try to identify the root cause. Have a transparent environment where the provider is able to report bad performance and seek feedback. And then document changes and revisions as you go ahead. Let's now look at some components of SLA. Now, key components within an SLA define the scope, the expectations and consequences of the outsourcing engagement. Major attributes would include the service description, so what needs to be done, the process and the activities, the service level, the expected performance level for each service, timelines and quality, measurement, so you quantify the commitment, how to measure, what to measure, the unit of measurement, the interval, so specifies the frequency of measurement. Some metrics could be daily, some could be weekly, some could be monthly, some things like an NPS at times even could be annual. And then obligations, responsibilities of both parties to enforce the SLAs, and penalty, consequences for non-compliance with the SLAs. These need to be documented and agreed upon. Let's look at some SLA categories. First are performance SLAs. So these govern ongoing services and set quality based on objective measurement. So this could be timeliness metrics, so on-time delivery, conversion percentage, for example. Then you have reactive SLAs. These are based on service provider reaction to events, primarily measured by time. So this could be response time to customer complaints, for example. Then you have proactive SLAs. So these focus on preventive measures intending to avoid problems. So performance SLAs, reactive SLAs, proactive SLAs. So these are the SLA types. You have customer-based SLA. So these are SLAs which are defined by the customer for a particular engagement. So a customer, a client, a outsourcing to a vendor would define some certain SLAs which are applicable to their business operations. In contrast, are service-based SLAs, which are industry-based SLAs applicable to all the customers. For example, if an e-commerce company is catering to multiple customers, they may have a service-based SLA that no matter whoever outsources an app development to them, or an app audit to them, or for example, a social media a contract or project to them, they complete that particular project, say, in X number of days or in X number of weeks. So irrespective of which client outsources that project, the service-based SLA is fixed for each client. So it's a service-based SLA irrespective of who the client is. In the first situation, it's a customer-based SLA. It's more customized. It's driven by the customer. And then you have multi-level SLA, which could be a hybrid model, a mix of both. Let's look at some SLA metrics to be monitored. Now, the type of metrics monitored within an SLA depend on the service provided. Choosing metrics should align with business operation and prioritize ease of collection through automated systems. So let's look at some examples. One is service availability. It defines the time the service is available for use. For example, network downtime. So the opposite is network uptime. So is the network uptime 99% or 99.5%? So you decide and measure the time that the service was available for use. Whether it was used or not is something different. It's utilization, but the availability is what you are measuring. Then defect rate is another example where you count the percentage of errors. So if you process 1,000 transactions, how many were defective? So either you measure the count or you measure the percentage of defect. So serviceability is one, defect rates, then you have technical quality. So this is pertinent to technology-related processes, measuring the technical quality of your outcome. And then you have security. It measures controllable security aspects such as antivirus updates and patching. So these could be different categories of your SLAs. Let's look at the guideline principles of SLAs. So what guides writing down SLAs and documenting SLAs. Now, guiding principles play a crucial role in finalizing SLAs, mitigating conflicting interests between the customer and service provider. Again, it's about bringing them on the same page for mutual agreement. So key principles would include, number one, are the business requirements as foundation. So define SLAs based on upfront understanding of business requirements. Second is prioritize service level. So categorize service levels into critical, key performance indicators, and those requiring regular reporting. As we discussed earlier, don't make a laundry list of metrics. It dilutes the entire effort of data collection and reporting. Only choose the prominent and the critical metrics for the reporting dashboards. Then you design the service credit regimes. So agree on an at-risk amount to draw service credits for provider failures. So how often can they miss the targets? So give some at-risk variation or range for that. Focus on leading indicators. So ensure service levels focus on activities that are leading indicators of actual performance, the outcomes. If you start measuring the inputs or the lagging indicators, it defeats the purpose because you're never able to control or measure the actual output. So rather than lagging indicators, focus on the leading indicators. Lagging indicators would still be measured at an operational level, but at a monitoring level, in the steering committee meetings and the performance dashboard, you focus more on the outcomes or the leading indicators. Then you remediate recurrent issues, escalate penalties for recurring failures, and consider termination for substantial breaches. This is more as an action to ensure that the service provider is serious and committed to improve performance. And you adapt with time, acknowledge change in business, and implement realistic, achievable changes to SLAs over time. Let's look at some advantages and disadvantages of SLA. Now, SLAs bring both advantages and disadvantages, impacting the outsourcing relationship. Advantages would include that it has clear service identification. You know what is being measured, what are the benchmarks, and where does the service provider stand, and how does it impact the overall objective. It has clarity on service levels, how good you need to be, how for every metric, be it timeliness, be it accuracy, be it satisfaction. So everybody has clarity, everybody is on the same page. It differentiates value-adding services. It distinguishes value-adding services from standard services. So you only choose the critical metrics to be measured and reported. Then there is a cost-benefit analysis. Allows for a cost-benefit analysis based on clear service costs and an enhanced understanding and trust. As I said, everybody is on the same page. The ambiguity is removed. But what are the disadvantages? One, it could be a costly joint drafting. Now, joint drafting can be expensive because teams from both parties need to be involved. You'll have somebody from the finance team on each side, somebody from the operations team on each side, somebody from the legal team on each side, somebody from HR as well. So the exercise could be costly and time consuming. There'll be involvement of legal teams. So it will require continuous involvement of legal and compliance team. It delays the entire process and the cost as well. There's increase in bureaucracy, may lead to increased bureaucracy and paperwork. Sometimes there's a lot of to and fro communication. Sometimes you end up measuring too many things. So it increases bureaucracy because the dependency on multiple functions and teams. Additional staff training is required because how to collect data, how to format the understanding of a KPI, especially for customer specific SLAs. So the trainings may take some time. With frequent staff changes, there'll be frequent trainings required at times. And then there could be a supplier bias. It may lead to a focus on meeting SLAs rather than achieving better outcomes. Sometimes, since SLAs are linked to your billing or your invoicing, there may be a supplier bias where your focus is not on improving outcomes, but your focus are on the green and red indicators. Hence, you need to have a balanced scorecard where metrics which complement each other and drive positive behavior, but these may happen. And hence, there's also a requirement that you revise the SLAs over time. SLA is not static. It should be periodically reviewed and notified to reflect changing business requirements. So you make changes, you're modifying those SLAs to address the present situation, and you preempt the immediate, the short-term future. So SLAs that may become obsolete because of changes in the process, changes in customer expectation, changes in technology need to be removed. Let's look at some instances requiring these review. First could be a change in business needs. For example, you may have a new ERP system or change in a business process. So some activity may become obsolete, some metric may become obsolete because you may now automate a few activities. Change in technical environment, a new software or a new cloud infra being introduced. There may be workload changes, so shifts in workload requirements. There may be improvement in metrics and processes, so enhancement in measurement tools and processes, or some new technology, system may boost the performance. So the minimum benchmark is always being achieved. Then you need to stop measuring that. There may also be some changes in customer expectations. So this is a reference table of the contents in a service level agreement. So this is a standard table of agreement, which you have confidentiality statement between both the parties. You have the timelines, the list of services provided. You have the rewards and penalties based on performance. Reporting is there, how often to report, the formats to be used. You have the user support and problem correction, application enhancement, and the signatures and the appendix. So this is a standard format, different sections of the SLA, which you may get a copy if you check online also, you'll get a SLA draft copy. But these are standard, which will be part of most of the service level agreements between a client and an outsourcing service provider. So let's look at KPIs in SLA. KPIs are key performance indicators, the metrics. So key performance indicators play a crucial role in evaluating the performance of processes within a service level indicator. Now, unlike SLAs, KPIs are not contractual obligations, but serve as navigational tools for service providers to stay on course or meet SLA objectives effectively. So these are the quantifiable metrics as part of the service level agreements. KPIs measure the performance of each process, covering aspects like customer service, quality, cost, and efficiency. Now, generated periodically, which could either be daily, weekly, monthly, depending upon the frequency and the type of KPI, they provide ongoing insights into operation. They give you a trend, they give you if you are improving, if you are decreasing, and then accordingly actions can be taken. So these are reviewed at forums. Scheduled customer user forums offer a platform for reviewing KPIs, ensuring alignment with defined objectives. And these also serve as navigational tools. KPIs act as guides, highlighting areas requiring attention. So you look at the trend, whether it's an improving trend or a decreasing trend, and accordingly you decide where you need to intervene to ensure that the performance is improved. So what is the difference between KPIs and SLAs? Now, while both KPIs and SLAs contribute to effective outsourcing, they serve distinct purposes within the performance management framework. KPIs focus, so they offer critical insights into operations, facilitating better business decisions and identifying areas of improvement. For example, how good is your quality score, or how fast is your turnaround time to customer inquiries? How satisfied are your customers? What's the customer satisfaction score? SLAs are contractual obligations, and they outline specific contractual obligations and penalties for non-compliance. So these are your service level agreements. So what happens if you do not meet an agreed upon performance parameter? So KPIs help you measure that. Service level agreements become your contractual obligations and determine the penalties for non-compliance and sometimes the rewards for overachievement. Like SLAs, KPIs are tailored to meet business priorities, ensuring relevance and alignment, and hence even these could be changed and modified over time. Now, sample KPIs for an accounts payable process include measures related to invoice processing, accuracy, and handling of exceptions. In contrast, SLAs governing accounting operations might focus on activities like journal entries, reconciliations, and compliance. But if you take journal entries as an example, now that's an SLA, but the accuracy of entries would be your key performance indicator or your KPI. So that's about SLAs and KPIs in our BPO series. I'll see you in the next chapter. Thank you.